Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circles. We're delighted to see all of you today. This is Terry Mason. I am on the board of directors of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined to facilitate by Liz Gannon Graydon, who is also on the board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead on our Leadership Council. We have a special guest today. Her name is Kathy Kidd, and Kathy has a long history with the Peace Alliance. She was once on staff and a real cornerstone for our organization for several years and has remained close to us, and we're so grateful to have Kathy here. She went on when she left the Peace Alliance to become a social worker, and she is carving a path about social justice that she's going to share her story about. So I'm really looking forward to having Kathy join us today. Feel free to put in the chat where you're coming in from so we see the international presence that we have, because I'm seeing just from who I'm seeing on the screen that there's a lot of people from a lot of places. So welcome, really delighted to see you. Yelena, would you like to begin with a meditation for us today?
Yes, Terry, thank you. I hope you can hear me.
I can.
Well, good. Welcome everybody, those that are present and those listening on the podcast. Just want to invite you into finding a way to settle into a relaxed body. And the body which also allows your mind to be alert. So perhaps that means closing your eyes, if that feels comforting to you at this moment, or just gazing down and just invite ease, invite softness, invite gentleness. Just bring the attention to the sensation of breathing on top of your nostrils. Just notice your incoming breath on top of the nostrils and your outgoing breath. With that relaxed awareness, the invitation is to practice mindfulness of this moment as an act of gentleness. What parts of you need softening at this moment? Inviting ourselves into a practice of softening our mind, our body, and heart. And just giving permission to yourself to be in this moment without any shame or guilt, your past or unmet expectations or unmet dreams, just allowing to arrive here right now. Notice what is arising in your body. Is there a constriction, tension, or perhaps there is a little bit more softening, opening, releasing? Maybe for the next few moments, sit in silence and gather your attention and soften, soften, soften. gentleness as our practice. Gentleness to self and others as we open our listening hearts to Kathy and her story. Welcome, Kathy.
You're going to need to unmute yourself.
Okay.
There you go.
Right. Oh, I'm so glad to be here. And you will all be the first that I'm sharing this complete picture of myself with. So how do you tell your life in 12 minutes unless you're 12 years old? So I wrote down, well, I typed up everything I want to say. So if I look at my notes, it's because I don't want to leave anything out. But I want to share the framework of this with you. And there's five questions I've asked myself and that I've answered in my story. So what was I born into that determined who I would become? What events in my life contributed to who I am? What are the many layers to who I am? What has held me back in life? What does being held back cost me personally and all of us collectively? What is my purpose and how has my purpose unfolded? And where do I find hope in today's world? So what I was born into that determined who I am, I see as three major themes. One, my mother is Mexican. My father is white. Because of my skin, I look white. We were struggling working class. And it just so happened that I was on the dividing line between a really good school, one of the best in the country, and a really bad school. So I got a good education. So what are the events in my life that contributed to who I am besides being Mexican and looking white? The most pivotal event in my life was when I met at 19 a black man and fell in love. And it was that began unfolding the prejudices that I have, because I would tell people my boyfriend was black, and I would say, but he's educated and he speaks really well. So I didn't know at the time that those were microaggressions, and that was prejudice also. So I thought something was really wrong with me for these thoughts I had about black people, and I was, you know, in love with a black man. So I got in therapy, thinking that would fix it. It fixed some other things, but it didn't fix racism or internalized racism. So I really started learning about the history of black people in particular, and realized that how black people have overcome and struggled with oppression and made gains, or the same way that I as a woman or I as a Mexican person could use those same tactics. So it was very valuable for me to learn that history. And I would never understand why I would get certain opportunities on a job and others wouldn't. Particularly one time a black female friend of mine, she should have gotten something over me, and I never understood that. It wasn't until my 30s, when I was living in San Francisco, I took a 6-month class on ending white supremacy, and that's when I realized what white privilege was. And so I lost my place. One second. Okay, so what are many layers to who I am? One is all of these forces have shaped me to be very compassionate and empathic, and it's what allows me to do the job I do now, which is I'm a county mental health therapist, so I work with a lot of oppressed people and a lot of trauma. It's only recently that we have determined that poverty is a trauma. And what I don't know is part of my history, the history of women, which I just realized when I watched Mrs. America on Hulu, I think it is, which is the history of the ERA. I realized there's a lot of history about women I don't know about, because we've been written out of history. Black people have been written out of history. Mexicans have been written out of history. One thing I have found out about my Mexican culture is that in Texas, I think that's where most of the Mexicans were, you know, California, Arizona, Texas. And I say Mexicans because 50 years ago, we hadn't yet had the migration from the Central American countries. Mexican people were not allowed to go into restaurants. They were lynched. They had to sit, you know, in the segregated part of the movie theaters, in swimming pools. The whites swam on the weekends. On Mondays, they let the Mexicans swim, and then they would drain the pool and put fresh water in for white people. And I found a sign. So the signs would say no blacks, no Mexicans, no dogs. I found one sign. We serve whites only, no Spanish or Mexican. So all of these things about my history that I'm learning that have been written out of history. Let's see. And even going back to the conquest of Mexico, which they were Christianized or missionaries, it was very violent. I don't know what my indigenous spiritual practices are. I want to know those because I have dabbled in everything and never found a home. I also want to know what the indigenous spiritual practices that I came from in Europe before Christianity, because I really want to reclaim that. So what has held me back in life? Shame. You cannot be oppressed without also having shame because of how we're viewed in this culture. Until junior high, I thought nothing of being Mexican. And I would go to, you know, to the lockers between classes, and I would hear people say things about Black people and Mexican. It was very confusing for me. And so I started really, you know, questioning that and confused about that. But I started hiding who I was. I would not tell people I was Mexican. I would tell them I was Spanish. That seemed more palatable to people than telling them I was Mexican. Shame in growing up in a struggling, working class, struggling family. I had shame in the prejudices I carried, both internalized and externalized. There's the shame of who we are in this country and not following a specific path. College, white collar job, house in the suburbs, always trading up to a better house, children. The children get allowances not because they do chores, but just because they need money, vacations. Saving for retirement, having a comfortable retirement. You know, when we don't fit into that mold, there's a lot of shame in that. So what does this cost me personally? Oh, one other thing. My mother and her 12 brothers always put her 12 sisters and brothers always put Mexicans down. There's a lot of shame in their family because they picked cotton and fruits and vegetables. I had to go to school to learn Spanish so I could speak to my grandmother. I studied Spanish in junior high school, and college. And I remember in college, I walked up to my Spanish teacher and asked her, you know, by this time I had done a lot of studying and I wanted to reclaim my heritage. I asked her if I could call myself Mexican because I looked white, and she said, yes, I could. So I started calling myself Mexican again. So what does this cost me personally? There's no way we can live up to the standards set in this country. White, rich, thin, pretty, you know, blonde, whatever all those standards are. And standards change from time to time. You know, in some, at one time and in some cultures, if you carry more weight, that's good because it means you have money. If you're thin and skinny, it means you're poor. And so standards continually change because we can never measure up. And so what else has this cost me? For me, it cost my vitality for life and my passion for life. I'm continuing to gain that back. I've been resentful and jealous of white people who seem to fit in and belong because I was comparing my insides to their outsides. I've been whitewashed. I realized, you know, several years ago that I don't feel Mexican anymore because this culture whitewashes it out of you. So what's my purpose and how has it unfolded? I would not be who I am if I were not Mexican and look white. I would not be who I am if I'm not a woman. I would not be had I not had a Mexican mother with internalized racism and a sexist, racist, homophobic father with his own shame issues. I would not be who I am had I not grown up in a struggling working class family. I would not be who I am. If I had not been witness to so many derogatory comments about Blacks and Mexicans. I would not be who I am had I not fallen in love with a Black man at age 19. I would not be who I am had I not been curious and studied the history of Black people in this country. I would not be who I am had I not recently realized I don't know the history of women or of Mexicans. I would not be who I am had I not realized that I had focused on dismantling racism as it applies to Black men. When I learned about intersectionality, I learned that Black women have it worse than white women and Black men. I'm now learning the history of Black women. I would add that my purpose continues to unfold, deepen, and widen, and it has done so throughout my life. My deepening began 20 years ago at 43 when I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and my doctor was very grim about my prognosis. Up until that time, I had not really wanted to be here. I didn't think this life or this world was that great. But cancer made me realize I didn't want to die. And so I began living my life at warp speed to live my purpose, whatever that was going to be. That's when I found the Department of Peace and then the Peace Alliance and met so many inspiring people. That's what inspired me to become a social worker. And that's why the Department of Peace and Peace Alliance is so important to me. So present day, I was reawakened by George Floyd. A very sad thing for me is that I've been doing so much anti-racism work all of my life and continuing to learn. And then I stopped because I thought I had, quote unquote, arrived. I thought I knew racism. I feel Mexican, but because I look white, I've experienced white privilege. Because I look white, I hear people say things they would only say in front of white people. Because I correct them, I thought that was enough. I have a diverse mix of friends and a multiracial family, so I thought I didn't need to do anything more. I thought that was enough. I mistakenly thought I knew racism. I realized how wrong I was. As much as I know, this is a lifetime of work and learning. No matter how much I know, there is more to learn. I think somewhere along the way, I gave up. It seemed insurmountable. I have the luxury of giving up and losing hope, but Black people don't have that luxury. I have let myself down and so many others by giving up, which brings me to where I am today. I've always had this whisper in my ear that I need to, at that time it was ending white supremacy trainings, that I needed to do that. Now it's called anti-racist trainings, but I ignored it. I didn't think I was adequate enough and who would want to do it. But with George Floyd, that's all changed. This whisper in my ear became an insistent roar and I couldn't ignore it. I had a friend, I called her, told her what I was thinking, and she said if I did it, she would attend. So I wrote the curriculum that night, and on Facebook the next day I posted, before I lose my courage, here's what I'm doing. Liz called me within a minute, and so I asked her to be my co-facilitator so I would keep my courage up. And she also, the curriculum I created is 9 months, and she said, that's enough to give birth. And so for me, I'm giving birth to myself and anti-racists. My hope is that other people will want to facilitate this class, but take it from me, and that I'll have monthly facilitator calls, and that will grow and grow and grow. And I love what I'm doing. I'm going to keep doing it. And so that's how my life has unfolded and continues to unfold. And I do have a lot of hope, which after our breakouts, I'll share where I get my hope from. And that's my story.
Thank you, Kathy. Yelena?
Thank you, Kathy. It's a really moving story. So I just wanna invite us all to maybe just take a pause and breath, collective breath with you, Kathy. Yeah, thank you for sharing so vulnerably with us all. It's a privilege to hear your story. Thank you.
It's wonderful to be heard.
Thank you. It's a reciprocity of giving and receiving. And with that same reciprocity, I invite us to go into breakout rooms and give each other listening, give each other stories, and listening from that heart, really truly listening to the other story and speaking from the heart, speaking from your authentic experience. You know, hearing you and your vulnerability often gives people courage to open up in their own way. So trusting that you will know what to say when you are with that small group of folks, and keeping these stories, you know, some of us are ready to share and some of us are not. Those of us that are, share it. And those of us that are not, give a gift of listening for others, and keep it confidential. Yeah, and pause. That's an invitation. As you go in, I invite you all to pause first and pause after each story. So some of those questions, I think Terry, I will put them in. But those are some questions that Kathy shared at the beginning, and let those questions be your guide as you enter this breakout. What was I born into that determined who I would become? What events in my life contributed to who I am? What are the many layers to who I am? What has held me back in life? What does being held back cost me personally, cost us collectively? What is my purpose, and how has my purpose unfolded? Where do I find my hope in today's world? Obviously, in 15 minutes, it will be hard to cover all of these, but just whatever resonates with you and your heart, go there. That's the invitation. Yeah, Terry?
Very good.
Ditto.
Welcome back, everyone. It's good to
thank
see you.
Thank you. Hi, Brenda Hart. Tommy.
We see you. We see you.
Okay.
Hello, Tommy. Yay.
Nice to see you.
I forgot.
We just got back from our breakouts, and people had an opportunity to share with one another in small groups. So what is, and Kathy, you had a final answer to a final question you wanted to share.
You have to unmute.
You have to unmute yourself.
You mean to share it now or at the end?
Whenever you like.
I think I'll share it at the end.
Okay. Okay. All right. So what would people like to share about their time together? What came up? What's live?
I was about to share at the very end of our time that we don't know who we are until we hear someone else's story. And that's why I like this format of this weekly meeting. This is why I keep coming back, is that we're sharing our stories. We don't feel alone.
That's lovely.
Thank you, David. Is this, I'm trying to see, now we're on a couple of screens. Is there anyone else who wants to kind of raise their hand and be acknowledged?
You can unmute yourself.
Yeah. Have something that came up for them in the group that felt really alive or important to share.
I think that's a really good, I think that's a really great point that David made. I didn't hear enough of what Bonnie had to say, and I'd like to go back and talk with her. So thank you, David. That's a perfect description, I think, of what this whole, at least today, has meant to me.
Mm. Thank you, James.
I'd like to share that one person in our breakout room suggested that there is hope in the fact that we can still make choices. And I really liked that comment. I think we should think about that and live there.
Thank you, Nancy.
I'd like to share that in our group, we realize that what's holding us back is our own selves. We're responsible for a lot of what we perceive to be holding back and not moving forward. And it's a good reminder to know that we have this power to choose to not do that.
Thank you, Annette.
You're welcome.
Who else? Can I? Oh. Yeah, if you want to speak, you can just unmute yourself.
I have something I'd like to share, but it's not from the group.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to put in the link a press release. We have a U.S. Institute of Peace, and they have created a new award that is about to be given for the first time to Women Building Peace Award. And the finalist towards that award has been announced. And again, I'll put the press release in the a link in the chat.
Wonderful. I don't see it yet. I look forward to it.
I'm getting there.
Okay, perfect.
I think Anna had her hand up.
Anna, you can unmute yourself. I'm not able to do it. There you go.
No, I didn't, but I will just reiterate what I shared in our group, because I think it can't be heard too many times that in addition to our ability to make choices that make a difference, those I think can reflect from our hearts staying positive regardless of what's happened. If we don't live a Pollyanna, pardon the pun, a Pollyanna life, but we are realistic in emphasizing the can-dos in positive, heart-centered, heart-driven ways. Thank you all for all you do.
I want to share.
Wonderful, Lisa.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, Linda or me?
No, go ahead, Bonnie. Or is it Bonnie?
Itaf. Go ahead, Itaf.
First of all, I want to thank Kathy for her story and bring her experience, and also she shared with us the hope. And like, I feel really, I feel what you get through. It's like when you talk, like it's like my story. And really, really thank you. And I share with the group what is give me the hope, the compassion, listening, and also the thing I'm doing now, and also to live in peace and in the world. And this is what's coming up. And really thank you, all of you.
Thank you, Itaf. Linda, you had something to say?
I do.
And then David, and then Deb. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay, thank you. And Kathy, I'm so sad that I missed your story. I had another commitment, so the ladies allowed me to come into their group and they shared with me your wonderful story. But I just wanna tell you how much Liz loves you, because she edified you so beautifully and connected your journey. And I just wanna add that. For your day, so that you know that journey that you guys are taking together. I know you guys know how important it is, but it's so beautiful when someone else gives that support on very, you know, encouraged. And I also wanted to share something. I watched the documentary of Michael Franti called Stay Human, and we talked about how Michael Franti's stories connect so many people. And so if that's something that you all haven't seen, I'll offer that to you to check out his documentary, because it's absolutely beautiful. And if you don't know his music, it's absolutely beautiful. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Linda. David, you had your hand raised?
No, that was applause.
Oh, okay.
for Itaf.
Okay, wonderful. Deb, do you have?
I just wanted to share that talk about hope. One of the things I shared in our breakout was that when I hear Trump talking about how bad the suburbs are going to be, I yell back to him, no, they're going to be better. Because here in Minnesota, I'm not kidding, since the George Floyd riots happened here, like 3 miles from where I live, everybody is coming out. Like, people must have lived here all along, but they must have just stayed in their homes. But it's like a multicultural land here, and it's beautiful. It's better. So I just want to share that bit of hope.
Thank you. And with that, Kathy, would you like to share? Kate, are you raising your hand? You need to unmute.
I am raising my hand very, very quickly. I think just one of the profound things that's coming up for me this morning and holding space with all of you is, you know, we all have very diverse stories. We all have very diverse backgrounds. I'm looking at my screen right now. I'm seeing a diverse array of people from a diverse array of locations. But that one of the things that becomes confirmed for me when we share our stories is that there is an inherent human connection that is universal to all of us, despite our diverse backgrounds and differences. That is what I will take away from this morning. That is what I will constantly remind myself of this week, because especially in isolation, especially during COVID, when we can feel like we are alone in the world, or our experiences are, you know, individual and isolating, the reminder, the only really good that is for us to hear each other's stories, right? To come in and have these connections. But the reminder that not only are we not alone, but the shared human experience is so deeply ingrained. And it is such a connection. It is such a strong connection. That's what we have to lean on to really engage in the power that we're all talking about in terms of transforming the world. So I appreciate you giving us the space today for that. That's what I'm taking away from that. I just wanted to share it with the group. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that the name of the documentary?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So Kathy, you had a final question to
yes.
ask and answer.
Yeah, I just wanted to share what brings me my hope. There are so many disturbing events and disturbing tweets these days. And you don't, it's not really been the last 4 years. This has been happening over the last 400 years. It's just been made really manifest in the last 4 years. So many of us have been reawakened or awakened to the gravity of the situation we're in. And I wanted to share something I heard on a podcast by Lisa Sharon Harper. I've modified it and added to it, but the meaning of it is hers. Our nation may be unraveling, but that's not such a bad thing. It gives us the opportunity to build it up right. Up to this point, many have never really examined the ways our systems and structures have been created to do what they're doing. What is happening in our country now is opening the eyes of many. This opening is required to bring change. Systems are bearing the fruit of the seeds that were planted. In order for us to have new results, we have to plant new seeds. This time is our opportunity. It's an opportunity to dream and build a new society. We are here. This is the moment. Move forward. We can get there together. And to quote Arundhati Roy, a new world is coming. I can hear her breathing.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. Well, I'm just going to put a few links in the chat to the Peace Alliance, our website, to our Blueprint for Peace, which is an action you can take to support policy priorities that are of the peace building that we're about. Also to the podcasts, all of these calls are on our Peace on Podcast series, and a donation link to the Peace Alliance. If you're so inclined, we'd love to have you join us in that way. And Liz, I'll hand it off to you to bring us to a close today.
Yeah, I don't think I need to add much to what Kathy said. She closed so beautifully on her own. The only thought that I would add that comes up for me again and again is how closely tied our personal stories are to the collective and structural stories around us, right? And I when I teach, I always teach that our personal story is our entry point into the story of the larger society around us, right? What is our story of the world around us? And where can we have our impact? And so I'm so thankful to Kathy for weaving so beautifully the story of her personal story, but how that has, her personal story has given her this beautiful entry point into doing the work of healing systems, right? That healing her personal story is allowing her the entry point into how to heal the systems around her. And I'd ask us all to reflect on that this week and how we might really use our personal stories now, while many of us still have time and reflection, to move forward and say, where can I have an impact on the wider story around us in this moment? I just want to say thank you, Kathy, really with all my heart. Thank you as always, Terry and Yelena, for holding the space. And thank you to everyone who shows up on these calls and enters into our storytelling moment together. It really is such a powerful experience. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.